the rock of our salvation. Amen. Come on, you can continue to rest on your feet. We're going to read the scriptures. That way, Matthew chapter 4. Anybody grateful for Jesus? Amen. He is good all the time. If you could turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to get into the Word of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 reads, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread throughout all Syria. They brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases, pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. You may take your seats. Certainly, I'm grateful to stand before you on this second Sunday of Black History Month. Each Sunday, our youth have been celebrating local heroes. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and celebrate the team who has been putting those events together. Come on, clap your hands for them. Sister Ruby Pruitt has been working diligently and working through getting those things together. We're grateful. Also, our choir looks wonderful today and their African Kenta. Amen. Amen. We're grateful for them. We find ourselves, Tabernacle, 8 weeks from the celebration of the resurrection. Time flies. 8 weeks from the celebration of the resurrection, and as we prepare to celebrate the finished work of the cross, I said the finished work of the cross, I want to take us on a journey, if you will allow me to, through some moments of the life of Jesus. We'll spend the next 8 weeks looking at some milestone moments. By no means am I saying that any moment is more important than the other than the cross. We'll get there on Resurrection Sunday. But why are we doing this? Because the work of Jesus was not confined to a singular day. It wasn't confined to a singular place, but the work of Jesus was part of his everyday life. The more I think about it, people of God, so many of us have confined Jesus to Sunday. We've confined Jesus to particular moments. We get super holy around certain people. We know all the right things to say on certain days. But the work of Jesus was not confined to Calvary. It's not confined to his throne. As a matter of fact, people of God, I would argue that Jesus was just as powerful at dinner as he was in the temple. He was just as powerful and anointed in the street. Oh boy. As he was on the cross. But it begs the question, what about us? I bring before you two challenges this morning as I stand before you. Challenge number one, are you satisfied with being a Sunday-only Christian? Are you satisfied if we only know you to be saved today and then we wonder tomorrow? Or does your praise, your worship, your overall faith extend beyond the moment? Second challenge is this: are we as a collective body of Christ, satisfied with being a church confined to these walls? Are we okay if the only work we do is in here? If the only praises that we put forth, we're the only ones that can hear them? The reality is, are we willing to take the work that we do in here and then take that training, that growth and development to the street? We don't like that type of talk too much. But Jesus, in our foundational text, is going to show us the proper pattern. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, that we began to read, it says, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching. Say teaching with me. Teaching. There you go. Teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Let's do it again. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching. What was he doing? Teaching in the synagogue. And, if you don't mind writing in your Bible, that's a good word to circle. And proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. So you mean to tell me that Jesus taught in church but didn't just stop his work in church? The Bible says, and he proclaimed or he heralded or what we would call preached in the street. As a matter of fact, I would challenge all of my Bible readers, all who study, to go throughout the text and just tell me how many miracles Jesus did in church. Most of his miraculous time was spent outside of the church. He would do his miracles at somebody's house. He'd do his miracles in the square, in the public spaces. He would do his miracles on a mountainside. He'd do a miracle sitting on the side of the grass somewhere. He didn't feed 5,000 in the church. No. He didn't ask Peter's mother-in-law to come to church. He went to her house. It always amazes me how we look at the pattern of Jesus and yet the body of Christ is mostly silent out there. We can make a lot of noise in the church. We know just how to do church, but we have to ask ourselves the question, am I very powerful on my throne but very weak at my table? What has happened to us that when our own families come around our table, they don't know we're saved. As a matter of fact, they might think we're something else. But when it comes to church, we know all the words. When it comes to church, we know when to stand. We know when to sit. We know when to cry. We know when to shout. We know when to say yes, and we know when to say thank you. But when we leave out of here, if somebody hits you the wrong way, if somebody look at you sideways, if somebody give you the little stank face, you might tell them where to go. The pattern of Jesus, people of God, is he trained in the church. He proclaimed in the street. I'll do it again. I said the pattern of Jesus is he trained in the church. He proclaimed in the street. Our pattern seems to be we proclaim among each other and we're silent in the street. Jesus didn't stop working at the benediction, and we can't stop either. Stand before you on this second Sunday of Black History Month, study any of our leaders. It used to be that the black church especially was the training ground. This is where the people met. This is where we strategized in order to do work in the streets. I don't know. Maybe, you know, when you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it. It used to be when we came together, these were the meeting rooms, the strategy sessions. We'd pray together so we could live together out there. We knew that our survival was based upon our worship. And we, oh, yes, Lord, we would come together and sing Zion songs so that we could get some strength to be able to handle the vicissitudes of life out there. We didn't know if we was going to make it home, but we knew if we could make it to the house of God, it was a place where we could see people of like and precious faith. We did not know if we could make it past the workday, but we knew that if we could stand up and sing, God, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. We knew that if we could come together, those songs meant something. But now, in 2024, we done got a little bougie, and can't nobody say nothing to us out there. We quiet, we mighty quiet in the streets. We look like them. We act like them. We weak at the table and want to be strong on the throne. Someone, truth be told, didn't make it to church today. For whatever reason, they're not here. But they need to hear about Jesus. Oh, let's think about that for a minute, brothers and sisters. You mean to tell me that we're going to confine Jesus to this? Well, no, Pastor. We stream. That's a modern thing that we now do based upon what happened in 2020. We stream. And I understand some people use the streaming as an excuse, but what about your table? What about going to have coffee with somebody? Amen. Come on, I'm going somewhere. Amen. If you want to tell them about Jesus, you tell them. And if you won't, who will? If you want to show them about Jesus, you show them. And if you won't, who will? It brings me to a painful reality. Because Christians are supposed to be, listen to what I'm about to say, we are supposed to be the visible representation of Christ in the earth. And some of us don't represent him too good. Oh, okay. We, Christians, Christians, those who follow Christ, Acts says the believers were first called Christians at Antioch. Before we were called Christians, we were only known as those who were walkers of the way. We were people who followed the way. And then in Antioch, they start calling us Christians because we were acting like Christ and talking like Christ and behaving like Christ and saying what Christ said and doing what Christ said. So what would they call you now? What will they call us now? Churchians? We're Christians and we're supposed to be the visible representations. As a matter of fact, Peter says it like this, that we should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. As a matter of fact, it won't be on the screen. Let's use these Bibles. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Come on, flip some pages with me. I've only been up here 13 minutes. Come on. Come on, let's turn to Matthew 5. Because Jesus commanded us to be salt and light. Say salt. Salt. Say light. Light. One more time. Say salt. Salt. Light. Light. Oh, now that's our command. We're supposed to be salt and light, not hay and stubble. But salt and light. Are we in Matthew chapter 5? Come on, let's use these Bibles. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. This, I don't know, in my Bible is red. Is this red in anybody's Bible? Yeah. Come on, raise your hands if you got some red prints. Beautiful, hands down. This means that's Jesus telling us, we are salt. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt becomes tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. 16, let your light shine before me. Hello? It don't say let your light shine in church. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I'm salt. I'm light. We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be light. Now, let me tell you a couple things about salt. Salt does three things. Write salt down in your notes for those of y'all who are taking notes with me. Write the word salt. Come on, I'm going to tell you three things. First thing that salt does is salt is an enhancer. Salt is an enhancer. You don't believe it? Have you ever said, this needs just a little salt? It tastes all right, but it just needs just a little. Salt is an enhancer. It's an enhancer. So when the Christian comes on the scene, we should be an enhancement, not a distraction. Amen. We should make it better, yeah. Not make it worse. Yeah. Huh? We should pull out the best of a thing, not exemplify the worst of a thing. Amen. We're supposed to be salt. Number two, salt is a preserver. It's a preservative. I don't know about that. If you go back as far as 2000 BC, you would find that even the ancient Egyptians would use salt to preserve their food. You know why? Because when you put salt on something, it stops the spread of bacteria. Bacteria can't grow when it's encased in salt. And if I'm supposed to be salt, I should prohibit the growth. My presence, when I show up, there's some stuff that should stop just because I'm there. Oh, y'all. Some conversation should stop when you walk in the room. People shouldn't be comfortable saying certain things around us because we're supposed to be Christians. Yeah. Not just in church, at your table. People shouldn't be comfortable talking about other people at your table. Oh, okay. People shouldn't be comfortable saying certain things in your presence. They shouldn't be able to talk all crazy at the mouth because you're around, you're salt, and you should be tamping down the contaminants. If certain people can say certain things in your presence, maybe you're not salty enough. There should be an internal conviction like, ooh, yeah. See, I remember an era where even the street brothers would drive by the church, and if they was bumping their music, they'd turn it down. Oh, y'all not in here. Yeah. I mean, they'd be driving by the church, and they'd be bumping whatever they was bumping, and they come by the church, and next thing you know, they turn that down because I can't play this on the same street as the church. But now I think they're a little confused because they hear the same thing in here. Oh, I heard Reverend Jackson say this is supposed to be holy ground. This is supposed to be sacred ground. And the sound that permeates from God's house should not sound like the things that permeate from the world. The songs that come from God's house shouldn't be the same songs that permeate from the world, because when it is, there's no difference. There's no difference between dark and light. They don't know what's right and what's wrong. They don't know what's good and what's bad. And we do that all trying to welcome them in, like we got to become friendly to the seekers. But last time I checked, Jesus reclined with sinners at the table, but he did not applaud them. Yeah. I'm going to sit with you, but I'm not going to endorse you. So when the salt comes in, I got to preserve some things. I got to preserve God's will. I got to preserve God's way. I got to preserve God's standard. I got to preserve holiness. I got to preserve that. Number three, salt is a currency. It's actually my favorite one. If you start studying ancient Rome, you will find that many people, money as we know it, was not always what they traded. Matter of fact, you can read in the gospel, Jesus would say that they would tithe mint and cumin. And so one of the currencies of their day was salt. That means that we, if we're salt, we're supposed to be the currency of the earth. Oh, boy. You're valuable, even if somebody told you you wasn't. The Christian life is valuable. The Christian call on your life is valuable. The Christian message is valuable. It's not out of style to be saved. It is not out of style to be holy. It is not out of style to come out from among them and be separate. It don't take all of that. Yes, it does. It takes all that. Okay, let's go here. I've been up here 19 minutes. Watch this. I don't know if you've seen these new glam squads they got when they're getting folks ready for all these events, you know, like the Grammys. You know, the people come in and they got this whole team of people who get them ready. Y'all ain't never seen it? It's crazy. So when they want to get ready, they'll come and they'll have all of these clothes and they pick out their outfit, and then you got your hair person, and then you got your makeup person, and then they got to find their shoes. And I mean, it's a thing. So all day, we're going to work on this look all day. I mean, it's all day. And they got to take pictures before the look, during the look, after the look. Then they got multiple looks. They got a pre-show look, during the show look. They got an after the show look. It's serious. They got their best side. They walk around. Somebody walks around them the whole time making sure the dress is just right and they ain't got no wardrobe malfunctions. It's a whole thing. It's serious. It's all that. So you mean to tell me they go through all of that to be seen by men and we go through none of that to be seen by God? You don't care how your heart looks. You don't care. Nobody fixed that up. You don't care what. Oh, it's quiet in tabernacle. Come on. At some point, you got to say, it takes all of that. It's going to take me to pray more. It's going to take me to worship at my house and not just in church. It's going to take all of that. It's going to take a. You're strange. Yep. That's me. Sign me up for the strange bus. You do the most. I do the most. Come on now. I'm going to praise God when nobody else praises him. I'm going to honor God if don't nobody else honor him. If nobody thinks he's good, I believe he's good. He's brought me too far for me to sit down. And ain't no way in the world I'm going to let a rock cry out for me. If the mountains is going to skip, I'm going to skip right along with him. If he can make a donkey talk, I'm going to talk too. Because he is that good. He is that wonderful. He is that merciful. And so, yes, it is all of that. Why you gotta raise your voice? Because at some point, yes, Lord, we got to cry aloud and spare not. And we got to lift up our voice like a trumpet. And we got to say, listen, we've been quiet too long. We've been silent too long. We've been in the back too long. And some of us who God has brought a mighty long way need to stand up and say, it was me. It was me who done a bunch of bad stuff. But if it had not been for God on our side, I don't know where I would be. Come on, get your salt content up. Sprinkle a little more salt on your heart. Sprinkle a little more salt on your mind. Sprinkle a little more salt on your lips. Get your salt content up. Y'all give me a few more minutes because it looks real weird when we loud in here and silent at the table. We must get trained in here to work out there. That means there's some stuff in here where you got to have a little family meeting. Oh, come on here. You know, I grew up where if you act up outside, my parents wasn't going to let nobody say you ain't got no home. My mother would grab me up under my armpit. Some fingers. She reach on up under there. We'd be out and I'd be up on my tippy toes and she'd be pulling me close. Boy, as soon as we get out of here. And I think the Lord need to get a couple of ones of us. He needs to grab a couple of us. The Lord needs to grab a couple of us by our ears because we ain't hearing right. He needs to grab a couple of us by our heart because we ain't loving right. He needs to grab a couple of us by our lips because we ain't talking right. He needs to grab a couple of us by our feet because we ain't walking right. He needs to grab a couple of us by our mind because we not thinking right, because he's been too good for us to keep acting the way we've been acting, and our table and our throne need to match. What happens when I get it right? Hallelujah. What happens when I get it right? What happens when I get it right? Well, go back to Matthew 4. I'm going to show you. I'm through. I'm going to show you what happens if we can get it right. What happens if we get it right? News, verse 24. News about him. Oh, boy. Verse 24, Matthew 4, 24. The news about him. Oh, spread throughout Syria. They brought to him all who were ill. All who were ill. How many did they bring to him? All who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains and demoniacs and epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Well, how many people did they bring to him? And then it says he healed them, which means he healed them all. Now, here's the problem with this verse. News about him. See, we want news about us. See, when I do it right, he's lifted up. The Bible says if I be lifted up, I draw all men. Not if we be lifted up. We got to kill our egos. It ain't about us. It's not about us. It's not about who we know or who we don't know. The only person that matters is Jesus and him crucified. News about him. Now look at 25. Large crowds followed him. In this age, we got too many celebrities and not enough servants. Too many celebrities and not enough servants. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. So there are four things that happen when we get it right. Four things. And it's important. Number one, the news will spread. If we get this right, if the table and the throne match, the news will spread. You don't have to advertise. Jesus does his own advertising. He is his own PR team. He says, if I be lifted up, he don't say, we draw, I draw. I'll do the drawing, you do the lifting. Number two, the work will intensify. Let me challenge and let me speak to somebody's life. If you think it's getting hard in this season, thank God for it. This seems to be harder than it needs to be. Well, your smooth mountains are hard to climb. Don't no climber like to climb no smooth mountains. Give me something rough so I got something to hold on to. Why is this so hard? Why you want it so easy? Because if it was easy, you might mess around and miss God. It is the difficulty of the thing that helps you know if it had not been for the Lord on your side, where would you be? It is the difficulty of the thing that lets you know if God be for you, who can be against you? It is the difficulty of the thing that lets you know greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. See, when it's easy, you mess around and think your credit got you there. When it's easy, you mess around and think your pedigree got you there, your last name, your 401k, whatever your investment strategies is. Whoa, but when it's hard, you recognize I'm not smart enough to do this, God, and if you don't do it, it cannot get done. Come on. When it's hard, you recognize, Lord, I need you more than anything else. When it's hard and when the doctors give up, you know I need the Lord. When it's hard and when the lawyers give up, you need the Lord. When it's hard and when you ain't got no job, you need the Lord. When it's hard and you walking and you need to be driving, you know you need the Lord. Some of us, God has put us in a hard season so we can come into a praising season. Some of us, God has put us into a hard season so you can get into a worshipful season. And we gotta thank God because he didn't have to do it. But his throne and his table, they match. So the news will spread. The work will intensify. The following will increase. Yeah, the following will increase. And then here's the last piece. Number four, Jesus will be lifted. Now you get ready for that part. You won't be lifted. So some of us, as that song of that sitcom said, we want to go where everybody knows our name. That's what they said on Cheers, right? Want to go where everybody knows your name. Jesus is like, listen, I want to go where everybody knows my name. And too many of us want our names to be heard and his name to be silent. This is not a work just for in this room. Let's get ourselves together so we can do work out there. Let's learn together so we can go out there. Fellowship together so we can go out there. Break bread together so we can go out there. Pray together in here so we can go out there. So when we get out there, our home training is on display. Look at them Christians. They got good home training. Everybody else was acting up, but the ones who were salt and light, they got good home training. That's because we learn together. We fellowship together. We break bread together. We pray together. So we can go out there fully equipped with the whole armor of God to lift up Jesus together. Let me say this, and I want to pray with you. If we focus our attention on the celebration of the resurrection and forget our responsibility of the resurrected, our table and our throne won't match. You can have great Sundays and terrible Mondays. You'll mess around and have drunken Saturday nights and try to have wonderful Sunday mornings. Let's make sure that we don't confine the resurrection power to the throne, because it wants to work at the table. It is Super Bowl Sunday. Who are you going to minister to over that chicken wing? Because some of y'all going to lose your whole mind over the game. We won't know you saved at all. We won't know. Yelling, getting angry at people who didn't die for you. Pulling TVs off the wall and throwing food all over the house. Over people throwing a pigskin. When Jesus was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquity. Chastisement of his peace is upon you, and with his stripes you're healed. You saying we can't watch the game? I'm saying watch the game, but make sure that you're just as powerful at home as you are on the throne. My challenge to all who are in this place: Jesus didn't die for us to just sit around and have good Sundays. Jesus died so that we could go to a dying world and tell them about the goodness of the risen King. And if you don't know him, today is a good day to meet him. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord, today is a good day to get one. So with everyone standing all over this place, this is your moment. If you're not saved, what do you mean when you say saved? If you have not given your life to Jesus and you want to, this is your day. This is your time. This is your moment. Don't look around and see who's gonna come. Don't look around and see whether or not this is somebody else's moment. If God is working on your heart, if God is working on your heart, this is your moment. If you need this time to come to the Lord, this is your invitation.